This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu in Open for Business. It's a la carte Tuesdays. And here with me today is Frank Tam from Roselle Farms. And we'll be talking about the humble hibiscus plant. Now, Frank started farming hibiscus in 2003 and has since developed a product range to include bottled drinks, concentrates, whole fruit preserved and syrups, and the list goes on under the brand name Delicious Hibiscus. And we've also know that the hibiscus plant has a lot of medicinal properties as well. But anyway, Frank, you spent most of your adult life abroad working in the food industry. What made you decide to come back to Malaysia and to start farming the hibiscus plant?
Thanks, Frida. I came across this plant about 8 years ago, and I was attracted by its beautiful color and health properties that it offers. So I decided to come back to Malaysia after a long while away.
And okay, so you started this farm. Is it different from the ones that we know and we see on the side of the streets?
Okay. Most of us know hibiscus as bunga raya, which is hibiscus sinensis. But this plant is actually Hibiscus subdariffa, belonging to the okra family, and it's totally edible.
But it is native to the country.
It is native in the subtropics areas, ranging from Africa to Australia, including China and India.
So the ones that I know, some families that actually use this plant in their food, maybe, you know, in traditional homes and all that. So this is something that is commercialized right now.
It's quite native. But what happened in the 80s was this Professor Mazakare from UM took seeds from Sudan and crossed it with the Chinese variety. Sudanese variety is very dark in color, and the Chinese variety is orange in color. Today, Malaysia has the best variety of hibiscus subdariffa in the world.
Okay, so there are other farms as well. If you talk about this sort of farming and cultivation, you have them in Australia, Malaysia, where else?
From Florida, South America, to India and China and Indonesia.
Okay,
too.
But and where is the market really for this?
Traditionally, it has been a very valued medicine in India and China, and the Europeans also saw that. It's called Kakadu in the Middle East, for example, and the Germans especially import about 3,000 to 4,000 tons of dried hibiscus per year as an ingredient in their herbal tea. It's called Krauter tea in Germany. When you dunk a tea bag into hot water, it turns red and it goes sour. This is the hibiscus coming out.
And it's nothing to do with rooibos.
Rooibos is actually a tea from a shrub.
Okay, so it's not part of the same thing. Okay, so when you talk about the potential of this market, what is the potential of this market?
It's incredible. It's huge, in the billions, I believe.
But not so much in this country.
No, no. That's why we started exporting to Europe as well as Japan and Australia.
So if you would say your production is largely for the export market?
For the moment, yes.
So
80% of our products are exported.
Okay.
And we are trying to break into the local scene, hence starting with high-end hotels, restaurants and chefs.
So it's not available in the retail space?
It's not yet, but you can call our number and as well as write in to sales@rosellefarms.com.
Okay, so I guess if they just do a search on Roselle Farms, they would find you.
Of course.
Okay, so how big is your farm and the production capacity?
We have about 75 acres under cover, and we can go to 100 as need be.
Where is your farm?
We have a few farms. We own some farms in Bukit Tinggi, Karak, and we have contract farms in Lanjut as well as Endau and other parts of the southern states.
And when you talk about the production and all that, how much was it to start this project?
For example, you know, my first container overseas took me 9 months to fill when I first came back. I had to rely on farmers who were supplying in drips and drabs, and in the end, when we gained trust, I pay cash at the door. It took a while to sort of gain the trust, and today we have not so much of a problem now.
So when you talk about your employees, full-time employees as well, how many would they be?
In our factory, we have 15 full-time, and if we need to fill containers up, we'll gear up to 30, 15 casuals. eight staff in the office, and on the farms a few more.
Do you own any of the farms?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes.
So to start this business will cost you a fair bit?
Yes. Quite a fair bit.
Yes. But I understand that you're also working with eCafe, a project.
That's right.
How does that work?
In Pahang, there were some projects that they started a few years back that didn't work out so well. So we were called in to help with Hardcore Poor there. They have 15 acres undercover. We buy and pay cash when when we pick up the products or delivered.
When you talk about your operating expenses as well, how much does it come up to?
Approximately 50 to 60K a month.
So you're really obviously profitable at this point?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Now, so all of your produce come from the farms and also those that you outsource in a way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you see a bigger demand for this right now?
Absolutely. I see for the future perhaps 1,000 acres undercover. The thing that helps us is this, we do our products naturally. We do not use pesticides on our farms. We spray with a mixture of ginger, garlic and chili extracts.
It is organic.
It is organic.
Just hasn't been certified organic.
That's right.
Okay, so, and you, one of the things as well, you know, hibiscus drink tends to be seen as a traditional drink, and you talked about now working with hotels. Was it easy getting into the local space?
It wasn't so easy at all, because for 20 odd years it has been around, but we had to really demonstrate that we had the quality. Today we have a world class quality product.
And even when you say with the local space, was that also your focus, or were you more focused on the export market anyway?
We were asked to do some things locally because, for example, in 2008, we went to Japan. We knew we had to go to Japan, who leads the world in many areas like packaging and new product concepts. For example, 15 years ago, I saw Morinaga over there put aloe vera in yogurt. And everybody thought they were crazy.
And now?
And I said to myself, yeah, it took about 12 years before it got mainstream all over Europe today. And for us, with the hibiscus, it'll be the same path.
Okay, and it comes from... And so, what are the products that you currently have under the range?
We have a ready-to-drink, Roselle hibiscus drink. We have a hibiscus concentrate, juice concentrate, and conserve, which is a jam, dried flowers and flakes. And our flagship is flowers and syrup.
Flowers and syrup, what do you use it for?
Mainly as a garnish in champagne.
Ah.
For European countries especially.
Okay. Because I know that's where you're working with Ben Ng.
That's right. We had a launch in December, the month of December, January. We launched the Sky Bar. We thought we had to go for the top and go and had a month launch at the Sky Bar. He concocted six beautiful cocktails.
And even with the flakes, you were saying, what's that used for salads?
It can be used for salads as a garnish and also as a tea.
Okay, so right. And so mostly you were saying that 80% of your products are currently exported.
That's right.
Okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about this amazing hibiscus plant with Frank Tam from Roselle Farms in just a bit. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9. It's A La Carte Tuesdays in Open for Business and Enterprise. I'm here with Frank Tam from Roselle Farms, and we've been talking about this hibiscus plant. Not really the ones that you see at the side of the road, but they're sort of related. Anyway, I understand, so the hibiscus extract has many healing and medicinal properties. What are some of the benefits of this, actually?
From our own experiences with friends and family, we have seen a lowering of blood pressure. It actually helps to reduce cholesterol in your arteries, very much like red wine. The French, it's called a French paradox. The French eat fatty food, high-protein food, but drink red wine, and they're pretty healthy. So it has the same effect. And also we have seen it alleviate constipation as well as urinary tract infection. It really works, yeah.
Okay, and you were saying that actually earlier on that one of your truck drivers...
Yes, Prakash had his blood pressure at a very high level, over 200 stroke level almost. Today he's off medication.
Okay. So, you know, who do you see are your biggest competitors in this space?
Today it's Cranberry.
Oh, okay. and that will be in. So if you would say it'd be competition, we would have a price advantage.
I think we do. Yes, of course, and also a quality advantage. A friend of mine, he packs for Cathay Pacific in Hong Kong. He was using cranberry as a ingredient in the mocktail for first and business class customers, and he couldn't hold color, so he used our product, and it's called the Oriental Breeze.
So this was business class, right? When you talk about running your business, what are the biggest challenges in running your business from the early days to now?
I think having capital was the biggest initial challenge, and we raised that. Mm-hmm. And then personnel, of course, workers.
Okay, and you were saying in your early days you worked with someone that wasn't the right partner as well.
Yes, I picked the wrong partner. I was too trusting. He took off with my money. I had to start all over again.
And you still believed in it then?
Of course. This is a world-class product. It's okay. Going to be a world crop.
Wow, okay. So where is this person right now?
Somewhere around here, I think, yeah.
Are your products sold online?
Yes, it can be.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you actually? Do you have that on your website, the facility?
The inquiry and the sales tab. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll set it up.
So you'll be putting that as well, that people can actually buy on like a retail perspective. When do you plan to do that?
Very shortly, within a month or so. In fact, up to now, we have been delivering. I deliver by hand to myself and my staff, my sales staff.
But it's gonna be a minimum order of something.
It's okay. We.
Really?
We can handle it, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said it. Okay. Okay. Now, when you talk about what's next for Rizal Farms and yourself?
Okay. We want to see this taken worldwide, mm-hmm. all over the world. We're in Europe. We're in East Asia, Australia. We'll go to the States next. And after that, we will go into the natural medicine side.
Okay.
Of things, yeah.
When you say natural medicine, you'll be looking at supplements.
Supplements, yes. Natural.
In the next, what kind of time frame are you looking at?
Probably 3 years' time.
Oh, 3 years' time. So that's the plan. All right. And on behalf of Frank Tam and Rizal Farms, they're giving away three very lovely bouquets, I guess, of these products. You got to try a bit of the jam and all that, and it's worth 100 ringgit. Now, I guess. The question here is, what's the other name for Rizal that's being used? We've talked about it a lot throughout. And so you can SMS us your answer at 016-201-9000. That's 016-201-9000. And also give us your name. And the first three will get hold of this gift package from them. And tomorrow at Open for Business, I'll be speaking to Jaslina Ahmad, who used to be in TV and now she's in jewelry. And she'll be talking about her company and also her brand of Lina Jewelry. That's happening tomorrow. Up next, here's Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.